welcome back to the Glue Guys. This is Mike here. Say hello, Brian.
Hello.
Check us out on Twitter at BK Glue Guys. Of course, NetsDaily.com and Almighty Baller Network. Brian.
Michael.
The Nets.
Yes.
Are. The Nets. Are.
Where is that?
The Nets.
Where is that goddamn thing? Keep it
the
going.
Nets.
Oh my God, what did I do with it?
Wait,
here we go. The Nets are back. Thank God.
The Nets are back. Like
scratching an itch.
The Nets are back, Brian.
Well, they were, and then they took a hard L last night.
It would have been not a huge deal, but for us personally, it would have been a big deal if they would have beaten the Sixers.
Yeah, I guess.
Way to sell it. Way to go out there.
You want me to buy into your spiel, your upcoming spiel. That's why.
I have a
spiel.
You're trying to
lay the groundwork on your spiel.
I actually have two spiels. I forgot about my second spiel.
Oh.
The first spiel was why this matters.
A double spieler.
Which is the name of this podcast, Why This Matters Now. At BK Glue Guys on Twitter again. My main spiel is why this matters, but also I am obsessed with the race to not be at the bottom.
Yeah. It's funny because it's a race that we're really racing against ourselves in this case.
Well, that and the tanking Lakers. But the tanking Lakers lost or actually won a game, which
yeah.
is losing.
No, I mean, like, they're like more actively tanking. We've always been trying to win games. And they're kind of more,
it's really just like how
yeah
I guess
benching
adequate.
Guys and stuff, I don't know, they're like, you know, benching Nick Young, you only
Nick Young,
you
well dang Timothy Mozgov.
So
I'm like slightly obsessed with it, and the Hawks game was a big deal, that the fact that they beat the Hawks and then they lose to the Sixers. The Sixers game was tough because we were on such a wave of momentum, and if you had beaten the other really bad team in the East, it would have been a big deal. And they lose.
That game was
they lose.
Butt
Jeremy,
ugly, though.
Jeremy Lin was so mad when he's smashing his head against
I mean, he was playing not so great, so he can smash his head all he wants. But that was one of those games. I think we said at some point in the season, like, you can tell pretty early on whether this team is going to like have a chance to win or not. And I felt pretty confident from the get-go that we were not going to win that game. It was just an awkward, everything was a...
The guy, the French guy, the wing player, Lawal...
Carbo or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
Carbo?
Love him.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Intriguing prospect. Sarge, of course, looks... Sarge going for the...
How tall is Sarge?
Opposite Hitler mustache.
Yeah, yeah. Inverted Hitler.
Everything but...
Yeah.
Sarge, I think, is 6'11".
Yeah,
another child of Hinkie. Another... like super promising
everything
prospect.
About his look. And I think also TJ McConnell's like, he's like, I like what Sarge's doing. I'm gonna try to do some terrible facial hair right now. Way too much gel.
So here's my spiel, okay? Might as well just lay it out there,
please.
Why this matters, okay? So if you're gonna be a cynic about this, is that this sort of happens at the end of a season a lot of the time, is that some team will play like kind of okay and everyone gets excited, and maybe it's not warranted. And if you're going to be cynical, the Nets are like the team that is actually trying to win games when anyone else that's not in the playoffs is not trying to win games actively.
Yeah.
They're doing things like the Devin Booker 70-point game where they're fouling at the end of the game. Or you have the Lakers where we talked about with Mozgov and Dang and Nick Young being benched for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
But it matters mostly because, one, the obvious, we get to see Brook Lopez and Jeremy Lin together.
Mm-hmm.
I looked up some stats. It's not like they're incredible together. Like, as much as people want to say Jeremy Lin is like awesome, for this team, and as much credit as he's getting, when Brook and Jeremy Lin are playing, they're just slightly above average. There's like 1.7 points net rating overall, positively, which is like not much, right?
That's the net offense, and defense.
It also matters because all of the Nets' young players aren't good, and they need to be around good players to be better. And, like, LeVert's destiny, I think we need to have another LeVert discussion. Where are you at with Caris LeVert? Thank you.
my feeling about LeVert is that he really needs to get, like, 5,000% more shots up in the course of a game. He needs to assert himself, as they say. I mean, other than that, what negative can you possibly say about LeVert's game at this moment?
No, I'm with you 100%. I'm not worried, but everything looks correct. And I think what his destiny is secondary ball handler, slasher, shooter type. Yeah.
Well, here's the question. Is next year's application of Caris LeVert in the two spot with Jeremy Lin at the one, plus, I don't know, you put
Otto Porter,
at three, or if you don't get one of those guys, slide a Rondé over and do that, and then try to go after a power forward, a proper power forward. I mean, what's at the top of the list needs wise? I mean, we have needs all over the place, but what's the glaring hole? Is it power forward for you?
Because
just don't have one.
No, I think Rondé is a four now. As much as that's like unappealing because he's not that big, I think he's an NBA four.
This is going to go into the mail bag, unfortunately.
Do you want to just mail it up?
Yeah, I'll just mail it up. I mean, it's just two things. Yeah, let's just mail it up.
Mail time.
All right, enough of that.
right down to business tonight, Brian.
Yeah. So this is from it's cheer boy Josh Bass. Thank you for
You've
writing.
So good at that. Besides the Nets are back. You're really improved.
Well,
you're
yeah,
bored.
The CNN is my go-to. Anyways, Josh Bass, thank you so much for writing in, brother.
So much. Netspot@gmail.
We love you.
And also, thank you for everyone who rated us. I don't know if you saw our iTunes ratings, and please keep doing that. We're up to 44 ratings.
Yeah.
4.5 stars. We're the highest rated Nets podcast in the universe.
What maniac gave us less than a 5-star? What sad sack.
We will find them.
Yeah,
and not do anything. Actually hide away, which is sort of my protocol.
Find them, yeah. Cower. So Josh, thanks for listening. Thanks for writing. He says, hey guys, keep up the great work.
Oh, wow.
No, you keep up the great work, Josh.
Give us 5 stars.
Why can't RHJ make a layup? It's painful to watch. So this goes into my bigger conversation that I wanted to spur with you, which is on the internet, a place you probably don't spend as much time as I do.
No.
There's a
anti-internet.
There is a conversation forming there in Nets land, and it's becoming heated. It's a debate of a kind, you know.
Sure.
It's like left versus right, you know, up versus down, north versus south, and it's Rondé Hollis Jefferson is good, and then Rondé Hollis Jefferson is bad, and there are people that are entrenched in their opinions about this. Do you have an opinion that is as concrete as some of these people?
Good. I'm team good.
You're team good. Well, I'm obviously team. I'm going to wait and see, but because I'm.
How dare you ask me to go out on that ledge and you don't join me?
All right, I'll go with you.
Where is he?
Yeah, I mean, like, so here's the issue that everyone's getting at. So the, you know, people said that he had a bad game against the 76ers. Now, I think he had like an 11-7 something and like some blocks and some steals. A line that's expected for a player like Rondé Hollis Jefferson, who doesn't do any one particular thing very well, but does a lot of little things, you know.
Yes.
People were saying, wow, RHJ cost us that game. He's almost in Reggie Evans territory in some people's minds on the internet, which, now, don't get me wrong, when Reggie Evans was doing whatever you call that, whatever he was doing, they call it basketball playing, but not in my book, for 2 years or whatever it was. It was driving me crazy, and I was leading the,
He was your, well, I don't know if I want to say this for you, but is he your least favorite Net since we've done this pod in terms of a guy who's been a player and actually played for this team?
You put him with Jarrett Jack on a team together, and that's the 1-2 combo of the future.
God, I miss Jarrett Jack.
I do too.
This team could use some Jarrett Jack. No, just
where
kidding.
Is he now? Is he in New Orleans?
He's buried somewhere. I think he was going to sign maybe with the Warriors at one point, but
yeah.
I don't know if that happened.
Anyways, so here's what my line of thinking on this whole thing is that
on Rondé,
obviously very much a work in progress, right? Everyone, but
of course,
but the detractors are going to say it's not worth it. You know, we're losing games in the meantime. But I think any of the people on the positive said this is exactly the time where you would want to lose those games because they're immaterial. They don't affect literally anything. So we need to improve the quality of the players that we have. There's something there at least so that, I think it's highly speculative to say that he cost us anything against the 76ers. He did have a weirdly bad shooting game. I mean, it was, or at least like the bunnies, he was smoking them all over the place.
I kind of think that, I mean, I don't even evaluate Rondé the same way. Because shooting, it's almost impossible to say Rondé had a bad shooting game because he's not a good shooter. Mm-hmm. So about the layup thing, of course he misses like a million layups.
Yeah,
I'm not going to blame him for the loss against the 76ers just because, like, if you're relying on Rondé Hollis-Jefferson to shoot the ball well, then you have a problem overall.
Yeah.
He does shoot the ball a lot for a guy who cannot shoot, but it's mostly because he's just missing layups all over the place. But yeah. we're saying, where's Rondé?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I think he, I mean, so here's, and we've talked about this, but the perfect Rondé that you want, that's why I like him at the four, because he can attack guys a little bit more. He's still fine defensively. He would get eaten up alive by like a Derek Favors, but there's only actually one Derek Favors left in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Literally him. And he gets a ton of rebounds, and he does some like slides in the cracks type places.
Yeah. His issue is that he needs to embrace his Dennis Rodman qualities.
Yes, and he is, though. That's what he's doing now.
Slowly but surely, he needs to just like, I think he took 15 shots or something against the 76ers, made five of them.
Yeah, he takes a lot. Again, he takes a lot.
And it's a lot of those like, you know, he's around the rim, he's like poking it up there, and you get a lot of shots off that way, and you know, that's a way to really negatively affect your field goal percentage without really affecting the game that much. But it does, the optics aren't good in those games. So he still has nights off. He has bad nights.
Well, and I think the whole team itself against the 76ers, like I'm sure they missed more layups than any other game. I mean, they missed so many shots at the basket. It was obscene against the 76ers. And Rondé does that too. I mean, do we want to go all the way back to the moment when the team got Rondé Hollis-Jefferson at this point? So I was looking at restricted free agents, and Mason Plumlee is a restricted free agent.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Mason Plumlee as we know him now?
No.
Which is almost a triple-double machine.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. like a way down the line per 36 triple-double machine.
Uh-huh.
Or would you rather have Rondé Jefferson? I would rather have Mason Plumlee if I'm going to be
right
honest.
Now on this team.
Yes, he's more valuable.
Ceilings considered? I mean, we're not winning games.
Ceilings considered.
You think Mason Plumlee has a higher ceiling than Rondé Hollis-Jefferson?
Mason Plumlee is averaging like 4 assists a game or something. I mean, he's added parts of his game that are interesting that I did not see when he was with the Nets.
Sure.
I mean, we talked about this before for years with Mason Plumlee about he was old and we kind of figured out what he was. I mean, he's probably, 5 years older than Rondé? I don't know.
Yeah, he's like 4. Yeah, I think he's 26 or 27 right now.
So understanding all that, I mean, the Portland was able to get Nurkic,
yeah,
via trading away Mason Plumlee and some, like whatever else they had to do. I don't think Rondé Hollis-Jefferson is going to even get anyone like that. Like if you were to assign trade value to Rondé Hollis-Jefferson, I don't know what team in the league is going to be like grabbing at him. Again, I like him. I like him. I think he's good for the team. I like this role that Atkinson is putting him in. The Dennis Rodman-esque, just get rebounds and just kind of get to the hoop is smart.
So you think Mason Plumlee, insert him at the four, let's say, on this team, that's a long-term solution that you'd be okay with?
I think, well, Mason Plumlee right now is a better player than Rondé Hollis-Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Mason is becoming like almost a post-creator for guys, I think is an interesting development and adds a lot to his game. And he would particularly fit pretty well in an Atkinson offense. It's just that he can't shoot threes.
Mm.
But he probably shoots threes better than Rondé Hollis-Jefferson, who's like just never
got. Really fell off a cliff this season. I started out thinking he's going to do that.
You know what's unfair for Rondé is that this, like, Kawhi Leonard is the most unfair player to the rest of the players in the league. Because every player now who can't shoot is Kawhi Leonard, right?
Right, yeah.
Can he be Kawhi? Right. And that seems to be the only path for success or only path that we evaluate these guys as being successful when, in fact, like, Kawhi is a top five player in the NBA, and you would never say, like, can this guy be the next LeBron?
Mm.
Just because Kawhi couldn't shoot and he was kind of, like, underrated, you know, everyone else gets compared to him. But, like, who should Rondé look like? We talk about Dennis Rodman. You know, like, Thaddeus Young is actually someone who we should consider thinking about looking like.
Yeah.
Which is a four. I think they're about the same. I mean, Thaddeus had more heft to him. How tall is Rondé?
6'7"?
I think Thaddeus is not more
6'8", 6'9".
6'8". I'll give you 6'8". Right. I'll let you have that.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate that.
But yeah, I don't. I
mean,
they're
totally
Rondé,
different. I mean, that's, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. But I'm like, but Thaddeus came in the league as a three.
Yeah.
And I think Rondé needs to figure out how to stay
up for. That East was like a dunker for a hot second there.
That's what people, I mean, also, that was that era in the NBA when everyone who was 6'7", 6'8", was supposed to be like Vince Carter, you know, like the slasher
right.
guy who could just dunk the ball. Like, that was valued. Somebody could get to the hoop and dunk.
Yeah.
Dunks are not valued now, and it breaks my heart.
Well,
breaks my heart,
hey,
Brian.
We should give KJ McDaniels some shine, I think. I think it's at the point where his name needs to come up in this podcast.
I don't know if you saw this. Do you see this interesting? So Bobby Marsh tweeted this out. I don't know when it was. Maybe a couple days ago about KJ McDaniels' contract.
Mm-hmm.
The Nets have an option to renew his contract for one more year at $3.4 million.
Yeah.
And then the next season, he's an unrestricted free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Or you don't renew it, and he's a restricted free agent.
Mm.
What would you do if you're the Nets? Would you... Because if here's the argument.
Mm.
If you don't take that option, you make him a restricted free agent, you basically control the process in terms of, like, not many teams are... You're betting that not many teams will want to pay a lot of money to KJ McDaniels.
Mm.
And you're hoping that you can get him for, let's say... So Lance Stephenson signed a deal with the Pacers today, reportedly for $12 million overall for 3 years. So if you could get KJ McDaniels for a 3-year deal, $4 million per, do you want that? Or do you want to just say, hey, let's see what he's got for one more year. And then if he ends up being really good, we'll pay him money. But you know what I'm saying?
It's a really tricky one. It's a tricky one because, like, you want to see, I mean, there's a route that's, I've invested this much time with this guy. I like what I see so far, and I don't want to, like, be like, yeah, it's going to crap out next year, and he'll just go to the, you know, to the free market unrestricted entirely, and he'll, we'll be able to afford him that way. But also, you know, this is another reason why I think all of those, you know, a lot of people are quick to turn up their noses about the culture and the, you know, yada yada, all that stuff. For a place that, like, rejuvenates careers of guys that had been, you know, wasting away on benches in Houston, for example, do you think that they, you know, obviously, like, the almighty dollar is going to determine
almighty baller
almost everything, but how much can that influence a situation like in KJ McDaniels' case? It's not going to be a matter of, like, $10 million, obviously, but it's going to be something, right? I mean, like, a team that basically Phoenix rises your NBA career, you give them the benefit of the doubt. Or not the benefit of the doubt. You give them, like...
Well, no, it's...
The tiebreaker, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, you give that the tiebreaker. So if you're looking... I mean, not even saying money is all even, but let's say money is all even on any circumstance. What the Nets now have going for them is that they are the preeminent New York team, okay? In terms of...
In terms of not breaking my fingers.
There's multiple things helping out the Nets right now. Okay, so they are not quite Phoenix at Phoenix's peak, but there's that potential, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to treat you right. You're not going to be rushed into anything. We're going to play you the appropriate amount of minutes.
Phoenix at Phoenix's peak? When is that? What are you talking about?
Like you know how you
90s Phoenix?
Mid-2000s Phoenix.
Yeah.
When, like, Steve Nash went to Phoenix and then he got healthy and other
you've
guys.
You've been talking about Phoenix lately. You've been just, did you watch a documentary on Phoenix or something?
Nah, just... Yeah. I hold those teams in such high regard.
Did you read Terry Pluto's book on Phoenix?
Don't you dare bring up Terry Pluto again. The Nets have location, and if you want to play in New York, you do not want to play for the Knicks. I mean, I know you may want to think you want to be in the Garden, but, like, the Mets with Oakley, the fact that if you were to enter the team, you'd have no clue, one, what's happening with Carmelo. You don't really know, actually, Kristaps is, like, a legit NBA, like, superstar. We don't really know that yet. I mean, that can't be determined. And the fact that Joakim Noah is still going to be on the team, even though he's going to be suspended for the first 10 games of next year, and he has one of the worst contracts in basketball. So, like, you have a mess.
I told you. MSG is only fun to play in when they're good, and they're not good. So, it's kiddie time. All the kids come out and watch the circus.
So, if you want to be in New York, you want to be with the Nets. The Nets treat you well. That's great. And you're going to get, like, just a ton of run, and you're going to get to be with a coaching staff that seems to be flexible in trying to get people to do what they're best at. This also feeds into why this team can't really, like, just, like, people who call and say, like, oh, they should have to trade Jeremy Lin and Brook Lopez. They just have to get first round picks. It's like, you can't just trade guys you sign and just trade them away. Cause then other guys are not going to come here. It's a two-way street. So what we're talking about, KJ McDaniels, though, I mean, it's, I think I give him, if I'm going to make the decision.
Well, how high are you on KJ McDaniels right now? That's, I guess that's.
How high am I on KJ McDaniels? I am.
Gotta love, I mean, it's for us in terms of the prototypical mid-aughts slasher that you just referred to, that he kind of fits the bill perfectly.
And I love seeing him on the floor. Like, it makes a ton of sense why he's an NBA player, right? Like, he just fits out there. He looks super duper athletic. And if he can figure out even a sliver of an offensive, like, game plan.
He's found his
sliver. Does he have more potential than Rondé Hollis Jefferson?
I mean, the way that he finishes the basketball is everything that I want Rondé Hollis Jefferson to be and is not. Like, he holds his body control midair is super excellent. It's weird to see, like, a player that's, like, sort of, you know, has a pretty tenuous grasp on an NBA career be, like, take contact midair like that and finish so confidently all the time. Don't you know what I mean? Like, you
know. Yeah, no. I know what you're saying. And also, I love his demeanor on court. He seems like a happy dude. Well, I'm talking about just happy. He just seems like willing to help out teammate, like, doing what's right on the floor. So, like, what's his ceiling? I mean, because he's almost, like, he has so much athleticism, you could give him really high ceiling. But really, like, what you just want out of him is, like, Andre Roberson from, I mean, he's.
I think his ceiling is, like, Jason Richardson.
That's a pretty high ceiling.
That's pretty good.
That'd be pretty good.
Did Jason Richardson ever play in an All-Star game? No.
He was in a dunk contest. I know that for sure.
Desmond Mason.
Desmond Mason, all right. Yeah. I mean, I would try to be slick, and if I'm Marks, I would decline the option, put him out there for 1 year on a restricted free agent deal, and see who wants to offer him money. If no one offers him money, you give him a low ball offer, not disrespectful offer, but like, say, okay, here's the 3-year, $14 million deal. Pretty decent money for a guy who is on the end of the bench in Houston. And then you just have him for those 3 years, and you can do with him what you want. And he's going to have value. If he's as athletic as we've seen him be, he's going to have value to someone. So,
did Desmond Mason play on both the Seattle Supersonics and the Milwaukee Bucks?
I think so.
Does it seem like there's a lot of players that did that?
That transition over that period?
Does it seem like there's a lot of players that were on both of those teams? Kind of like,
let's list them all.
My memory of them is in both of those uniforms. Like,
and also because those
Allen
uniforms were like
Gary
so
Payton.
Similar, yeah, in a way. They were that weird shade of green. And then I think there's some yellow in Milwaukee.
There is from time to time. It's like a gold. But yeah, it's Ray Allen and Gary Payton are the big ones.
So that's it.
That's it.
Any more email, by the way?
Yeah. Well, this will take us into... I may as well just go right into it. What do you say? I really like what you did just there.
Thanks.
With the mix. So this is Cheery Boy. Steven Scarpula. That's Scarpula.
It's pretty close.
So this is okay. So I'm glad that I wasn't the only one that picked up on. And shout out to my buddy Colin, who's got a real kick out of your sort of closet Disney fandom that came flying out of the closet.
I don't think it was a closet. I don't think there's any closet.
You don't lead with it. I'll say that. This is new information.
Don't lead with it.
Yeah, this is all news to me. You were pretty pumped up about Beauty and the Beast.
I'm still shocked myself how much that movie hit me. I don't know what's going on with me.
Because you're right. A closet Disney freak, obviously.
Yeah,
anyway,
sure.
So, Steven Scarpulo, thanks for reaching out. Says, Mike, who are your five? Starting five.
Sure.
For Disney. If you got to go 1 through 5, and I'll do mine too. But I'm
starting point guards.
You're going to have more of the obscure players.
Yeah, trying to be cool here.
Yeah.
Obscureness is cool. Simba is my point guard. I think male adult Simba.
You're going to have a
ferocious beast lion.
No thumbs. A problem. You got a real problem in your hands.
Do you need thumbs to handle a basketball?
To
bounce a basketball?
100%.
You can just bounce it like
thumbs.
That.
Have you ever seen a cat try to do anything?
Have you
like
been
this?
Over on a basketball court with a lion? You know the type of defense that lion is going to play?
Look, the rules of basketball still apply. You can't eat people.
This
you
is
can't.
A-
You can't just
okay.
I'm looking, kills each other.
I'm thinking of it as like, okay, we're in this fantastical realm here, and I'm thinking the lion can talk and it can interact and
it can do all that. Sure.
Yeah.
You can talk and interact, but you can't dribble a goddamn ball.
If you
could
talk and it can understand, I could teach that lion who can then communicate with me how to play basketball.
You know how many steps you have to get through? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give the ball to Apu, the monkey.
You're talking about a monkey.
He's got thumbs.
But he can't talk. He can't speak.
Yeah, he's sentient, though. He understands. And he's going to swipe the ball from everyone.
Sentient being.
He understands, and he knows how to play the game. You see, that whole movie is just stealing stuff from people.
That's actually a really good point. But if you put that monkey up against my line's going to eat that monkey.
You can't. Look, if we're going to get into like killing each other, this is not a blood sport. This is basketball.
Disney basketball is a blood sport.
No.
Okay, number two, Jafar.
Jafar, wow. it's interesting.
Height?
Yeah. At the two.
At the two. Yeah. He's got some height. He's got that like Kobe-like demeanor. Like the Black Mamba, literally his staff is not a Mamba, but a Cobra.
Mm.
I imagine he has some magical powers that he can shoot, you know, from a distance.
No, he's got nothing. He only has the magical powers because of the genie, dude. Did you even watch the movie?
Yeah.
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 No, he's got no magical powers. No, he's got a genie powers. That's magical. And
my Jafar does.
No.
But he's got height. He's cunning. A lot of cunning from that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And athleticism. We all know he's athletic.
Okay, so you've just got a regular ass human is what you've got. That's what you got. Well, meanwhile,
you had a monkey as your first. Okay.
Meanwhile, I've got Dumbo running the two.
Oh, Dumbo's
flying, flying elephant. He's got heft.
What is he gonna? That's traveling immediately. Once he catches the ball,
there's no rules against flying.
Dude, yes,
you're gonna be.
You
ooping.
Have to, anytime you move, you have to bounce the basketball.
Dude, you're going to be ooping to Dumbo all day. Are you dead serious?
Just wait till my center. The most obvious one's the center.
Your
but...
team's already a mess, so go ahead.
No, my team's chemistry is beautiful. No. It's like this year's Bulls. Tigger. Winnie the Pooh.
Uh-huh. That's more Hops. Of a two guard. Should be more of a two guard.
No, he's a three. He's a KJ McDaniels. If KJ McDaniels is anyone, it's Tigger from Winnie the Pooh. Bouncy. Slasher. 3-and-D athlete.
Yeah.
Smart. Team player. Quincy Acey-like in that aspect. So Tigger is my small forward.
For my three, I'm going Hunchback of Notre Dame.
That's awful. That's horrible.
If you watch the movie, he's got...
He's literally has an impairment to begin with.
he's like super strong and fast and stuff. He's got girth.
Fast.
Yeah, he's fast.
When did he display his speed?
Fine. You know what? I'm going Mulan. I'm changing.
Okay, that's a fair one.
I'm changing it up.
That's a good one.
Going Mulan, she's for her marksmanship. I'm going to need some shooting on this thing with her bow and arrow and stuff.
She's a difficult player. My power forward is Ursula, the villain from Little Mermaid. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Octopus legs. So multiple appendages, always a plus in basketball. She has real heft to her, Zach Randolph type. Yeah. Okay? And a nasty streak. Nurkic. Burly.
Yeah.
Ursula.
Good. I'm going to go at my four. I'm going to go Satan from Fantasia. So game over, pretty much, at this point.
Because you have Satan?
Satan from Fantasia.
Not a team player. Going to ruin your team chemistry. See, that's what you're not thinking about. You put Dumbo and Satan on the floor together.
Dude, Dumbo's
not going to... One, he's not going to get the ball. If you have Satan in your team, Satan's going to consume all. He is.
I feel like Satan's all about W's. In my mind, he's just starved for W's. What in life? In this life, I guess he's been having some W's lately.
Yeah.
Who do you got at the five?
Genie from Aladdin.
So here's what I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah.
Genie from Aladdin, useless. You need a person to control Genie from Aladdin. So you need
false.
What? Genie from Aladdin? You can't
my
do
wish,
with.
Genie, my wish is for you to be the greatest center of all time.
Genie from Aladdin?
One wish, Genie, and he's the greatest center of all time.
Do you know what
time.
Genie from Aladdin is? He's in a bottle. You can't. He has to be owned by someone in order to... He's,
me.
What you have is a lamp. No, you got a lamp.
I control...
You didn't say Genie controlled by Mike Smeltz. You said
if
Genie.
He's on the team, the lamp comes with.
That's why I want Genie controlled by Jafar, so that him and Satan can run that... Twin Towers game. Twin Towers.
Did you have Jafar on there?
Well, Jafar, who is
who? Okay. So to review, yours is a monkey, an elephant, The devil?
Well, also Mulan.
Mulan.
Mulan, the devil, and a basically satanic like genie, like an evil genie.
Oh, you're going to have evil genie.
Yeah, Jafar-controlled genie.
I've got a lion, a mean guy, a tiger, a mean octopus woman.
A flying elephant. Your team is straight ground. You're playing deep below the rim, this team.
Okay, we all know Dumbo, one, Dumbo is not high energy. Dumbo will not be able to fly the entire game. Dumbo will only be able to pull off the flying for like three baskets. The rest of the time cannot be on the floor, cannot play defense. James Harden circa 2014.
You don't know any better. You're getting a baby boy on this.
Who would be the worst Disney character basketball player?
Any of the dwarfs from Snow White, pretty
sure.
much. I mean,
sure.
The one that's asleep or drunk all the time. What's his? He's like Dopey. Is he drunk or what's his deal?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or is he just dumb?
Well, I'm sure the writers wrote him as drunk and they called him, instead of drunky, they called him Dopey.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good answer. I have no other answer.
Pretty useless.
Besides Simba.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bad one. I didn't think.
Yeah, you actually have to play the game, Mike. Just, you like Satan, though. Come on, Satan's reaching.
I don't like, again, your team chemistry, like, if you're going to play 82 games and you have Satan on your squad.
Like 20 stories tall, he's going to crush. well, what do you think, Mike? It was a quickie.
Yeah. I don't think I have one other story. Can I do news
League
real quick?
Yeah, let me come on. We got to do all the things, all the things.
It's the news!
All right, go.
We'll ride it live.
All right, so news around league standings update, Brian. If the playoffs started today, the matchups would be today being Wednesday at 7:43 p.m. Boston versus the Heat, Cavs versus the Pacers, Wizards versus the Bucks, and Hawks versus the Raptors. The Cavaliers, Brian, are struggling. LeBron has called them delicate after their huge loss to the San Antonio Spurs. Kyrie looked emotional with how poorly he played. I think he shot 4-for-13. Is the window open for the rest of the East, Brian?
No.
Fair.
No.
Back to you.
No, it's not. It's still not. I hate to say it. I know Isaiah Thomas is taken to the news to like stir up some stuff.
Which one?
He was talking about like nobody respects our team now or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Whatever. No one does.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but it's true. No, the Boston Celtics and your Washington Wizards are unfortunately not instilling a whole lot of fear.
Flawed.
And you know, they're not far away. They're certainly one transformative player away. They're a, you know, a Kevin Durant away from.
But I will say, I mean, like the Warrior or the Wizards do present a big trouble for the Cavaliers and the fact that Kyrie cannot guard Bradley Beal or John Wall. So you're going to have to put him on like Otto Porter, and Otto Porter will then just shoot the ball over them. Now, obviously, then you could say who's going to guard LeBron James, but sure. I mean, we've got, you know, whatever. But I do think there's a window. There's a pretty big window. I mean, the Cavaliers haven't been good for about a month now.
Yeah.
And yes, there's that first round series, and the first round series can do a lot for a team like the Cavaliers that can like, they can see themselves winning a bunch of games in the playoffs and feel pretty good about themselves and then kind of lock it all in together. And they're only focused on one opponent. Focusing on one opponent helps you defensively more than offensively. But they have such defensive issues. Darren Williams hasn't been like all that amazing for their team, which I've been happy about.
Mm-hmm.
Very happy about.
Yeah.
Still get angry when I see him.
Yeah. It's about time for that MMA career to take off. That's what...
Stop. I don't want to talk about him anymore. I hate him so much. All right. Next news around the league.
Yeah. Wait, can I do something really quick before the next one?
Yeah, please.
I got to do this this quick, you know, we got to talk about our friends.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So here you go.
Hey, yo, do you play Daily Fantasy? Do you? I do. If you do, you should be playing on Draft. You should get this. Your chances of winning on Draft are almost 3 times better than on FanDuel and DraftKings. This is true. The data shows 90% of players lose on DraftKings. On FanDuel, over 40% of the money goes to just 1% of the players. Now, if you're not a pro and you're not some creep who's spending hours a day on fantasy, you should be playing it on Draft. You'll win more often, it's statistically proven. On draft, you do a simple snake draft just like at the beginning of your season-long league. You can do drafts whenever you want. They last just for one day, and they take only minutes to complete. So I have draft on my phone. I just did a quick game yesterday, and I got Russell Westbrook with like the third pick, and I crushed it, which was improbable. That would never happen with DraftKings or whatever else. So download Draft now. Just search Draft in the App Store, and it'll come up first. Be sure to enter the promo code ABPN when you download, and you'll get 100% bonus when you deposit. Again, search Draft in the App Store, and be sure to enter the promo code ABPN.
I love watching your face during that, the part where say DraftKings or whatever. You always get a kick
out
of that.
I like the way you personalize it and also disparage competition. That's the way a good ad should be done.
Look, I play for keeps.
So the personal story here. I took a bus down to my, not ancestral home, just my regular home in Maryland when I grew up in Maryland. A bus etiquette real quick about this, Brian.
I'm great at this. Go ahead.
Okay. So I took two different bus companies, way down and then the way up. Things I enjoy. Okay.
Sure.
You get to the end of your bus trek. Sort of like there's a protocol, right? The idea of where you're sitting on the bus, everyone wants to sit in the back of the bus. I don't know what it is.
No, that's. I'm just going to go ahead and say that.
People
that's incorrect.
Seem. I don't know what it is, but people enter the bus. They all seem to shuffle towards the back, which I don't understand.
That's to be polite. You know, you fill in from the back places.
I don't think that's.
No, you like to sit near the toilet, huh? That's where you want.
No,
like
I hate it. I hate it.
Yeah, obviously, everyone hates it.
I'm a front seater.
Everyone's a front seater. They're just being nice.
You may not be on the same bus as I. Maybe it's a Maryland tradition. I don't know what it is, but here's what it is. Okay, so there's an understanding that if you're sitting in the back of the bus. And to the front, the way people get off the bus when the bus trip is over is that everyone gets out of the little seats row by row and we move on through, right?
Mm-hmm.
Both down and up, we had the jokers who sitting in like the third to last row, bus stops, running up, straight up to the front, thinking that they're smarter than everyone. They're faster than everyone.
Right.
I'm going to trick everyone into getting off the bus quicker.
Yeah. That's Trump's America, Mike.
That's what's happening now.
Yeah.
That's what's happening on the bus these days.
That's happening on the subway, too. I mean, the subways, it's just jungle law down there. It's crazy. Like, my absolute favorite thing is a person, like, you're standing and they're sitting, and they get up way before the thing's even stopped, and they're like, excuse me. I always do that. We're not going to do this yet. We're going to hang out in a second just so that I don't fall over while I'm making way for you to get to, like, the front of the door, jerk.
I feel bad to admit this, but no, I don't. So, you know, when the doors open on the subway, there's a normal protocol of the people who want to get on the subway. They wait. They should never be waiting inside the parameters of
right.
the open
oh,
door.
I'm ruthless. I body check people.
Body, constantly. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. I had one the other day, a woman. It was like a malfunctioning door, so only one half of it opened, and she was standing in front of the other, like the only open part. And I went around her head, and I said, are you dead serious? Look at what's going on here. She was like to her credit, she was deeply ashamed. So it wasn't like she, you know, came at me or anything. But I was like, yeah.
I mean,
come on, you're in public here. Let's do this.
But isn't it? Are we the wrong ones though? Because I do run into those people. I purposefully, if they are in the parameters of the door and I'm walking out and they're trying to get through, I'm going to move over and run into you.
Yeah.
Am I the wrong one or are they the wrong
one? No, I like to give, I mean, it's like a passive aggressive thing. I don't let them know that it's a body check that's like, oh, whoops, my backpack just like.
Oh, know. I do the backpack all the time. And I think it's always a good move.
My favorite, a really good Shin Furin one was like, I have a issue with people that like aren't paying attention and they have headphones on. So it's like, you can't even like, you know, call them out on it because they have their headphones
Lord.
On. So this guy, there's like a bunch of seats in a row that nobody was sitting in. And it's like a pretty crowded bus or train. So you could tell something was up, like most people could tell. And there's like small puddles of water in each of them.
Yeah, that's always.
This guy's got headphones on, goes to sit. Everyone's like, no, don't. Doesn't hear any of it. Sits directly down. And then everyone in the whole like train's looking at him. And he just like shrugs it off, gets up and leaves.
I had a killer going off the subway here where I live. You know, there's like most subways, there's the emergency door that everyone pops open and then runs out, right? So there's a woman in front of. There's a woman, a guy on his phone watching a video, and then me.
Yeah.
Okay? Woman opens the emergency door. Guy on his phone follows her and doesn't tap the door to then keep it open. Mm-hmm. Now, I got through.
Yeah.
But he seemed like he could live in this world,
yeah.
this splendid world where people open doors for him, yeah. and he can watch his video on a crowded New York City yeah. subway at 6:30 at yeah. night. Yeah, yeah. No problem. Yeah. The world is his oyster, Brian.
Did you give him a reality check? Did you give him a taste of the Smeltz reality check?
No, I had to run. I ran away scared. If I was next in front time. Of him and he didn't say thank you, I would have said something. I mean, funny, it's like I've gotten to the point where like I mutter under my breath, and it's not even under my breath, it's directly out of my breath.
Yeah.
I am now saying things like, oh, you're welcome.
Dude, I'm super cruel. Like, all right, this will be the last one, but like so when somebody's doing the walking with the video or whatever thing, I'll zip around in front of them and just stop so that they walk into my back.
Yeah. No.
Just cut them off. And
I think that's the agreement we all are a part of at this point.
Yeah.
If you're looking at your phone while walking on yeah. the street,
I'm going to mess with you.
I'm allowed to run into you.
Yeah.
You have signaled that you've put the green light on that I'm allowed yeah. to hit you as yeah. hard as I can and I'd teach you a freaking lesson.
Yeah, checking them into a store.
I will say, before I got a dog, I was such a jerk. Not that much, but like if a dog like ran in front of me, I had given looks to dog owners.
Really?
Now that I have a dog, I'm
wow.
like...
You're like...
like I'm that jerk who's the dog yeah. is running in front of everyone and freaking out. I feel like I'm that way with... now I overcompensate and just like... People with kids, like I walk on the other side of the street because yeah. I just want to give them the full length.
Well, I told you the only reason I have animus towards New York City dogs is because the owners would. I was doing the trash at my old building in Greenpoint, and I would take out the trash cans, and there would be like opened bags of fecal matter that they just like, you know, they didn't tie it up right. They just threw it in my recycling bin or something. So it's like I got to sort the thing, and then there's dog mess all over it. And just once, I wanted to find them, and so I could feed them the Gatorade bottle smeared with dog mess.
Unacceptable.
Yeah. Anyways.
One last New York thing. Oh, I just want to tell you this real quick. So there was a mafia sting. The mafia is still around. The Bonanno crime family. The Bonanno.
Banana?
Banano. Just read off, just you yourself read the names of the guy. So, the classic.
Yeah, it's Ronnie G. Gilianzo, Michael Padovana, Nicholas Pudgy Festa. Michael Palmaccio, Christopher Bald, Chris Boothby. What the hell?
Yeah, I don't know where he came from.
Evan the Jew Greenberg.
So that's what gets me, is that
Richard
that exists.
Heck. So Michael Hines, well, of course, come on.
The names. The names yeah. are still there. The yeah. mafia is still strong, Queens.
Damn.
And the names.
Give it to Evan the Jew. Brutal.
The Jew. It's phenomenal.
It's like South Park.
That's phenomenal.
Pudgy.
So the Nets are finishing strong, and I think it's a big deal. Yeah. I think it's
they're like they just go into the most base thing like Bald Chris, poor bald the Jew. Yeah,
he
has
a great head of hair
just
though.
Just take one look at him and this is your name for life.
The Nets are finishing strong and it's a big deal mm-hmm. and it will hopefully continue and it will spin forward to free agents. I think if they keep playing well, they're going to be able to sell to free agents that we're maybe a 500 team if you come here. And we're going to continue to grow this, so it's exciting, Brian.
Really good stuff, Mike. Take us out. This has been a classic.
Well, again, if you're not listening to us on iTunes, subscribing to us, and everything like you need to do, go to iTunes, search
like
the Glue Guys.
You need to be doing this.
We'll put up a link on the Nets Daily post. Just click that link right away on Nets Daily. It'll be able to get you right to the subscribe button, and you can.
Should we
subscribe.
Tell people to follow us on Twitter? Our Twitter followers. It's sad right now. What's going
on? 700. We yeah. need 1,000.
What's going on with us?
Yeah, we don't tweet. Yeah. All right. So that was the Glue Guys. And
Michael, jeez, you had so much energy. Come on, finish it off, buddy.
Thank you for listening.
All right. Hey, thanks, everybody. Take care. Have a great night. No.